Welcome back to the Let God Podcast. It's me, Mary Hannah.
Me, Aifa.
And me, Wanipa. Woo!
Woo, 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 woo. And today we are joined by the boys from the 2911 Podcast.
It's me, Bien.
It's me, Squid.
And it's Krebs, you know the bad one.
Woo, woo, woo. You guys know the boys already. They've been on our podcast. Was it last season?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, season three.
Oh, so you should be. I wasn't here though.
Oh, you went ahead. Yeah, okay, so this is the introduction.
Were you not?
No, I wasn't.
And he wasn't.
I think I was.
So yeah. This is our introduction to them. It feels good to be back. Well, we're happy to have y'all back. It's a bit of a fun episode, a bit of a key today. We're going to be talking about Valentine's Day stuff. Some fun questions that y'all have sent in. Hopefully you would have seen our YouTube video earlier this week where we had some things with the girls from the To Be His podcast, and we hope y'all enjoyed that content. But today we're going to get the boys' perspective.
So we're going to start with a prayer as always. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us here. We pray that as we talk about some of the topics and dilemmas that have been sent to us, Lord, we pray that you give us the spirit of wisdom and discernment. And Lord, we pray that as much as we want to have fun and we're sharing different experiences and answers, we pray that the answers that we give will be inspirational and helpful to those that have submitted the questions. And Lord, we pray that in everything we do and say, your name will be glorified. Mm-hmm. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank
Amen.
You for that wonderful prayer, dear. So obviously we have to do the same questions that we did in the video.
Yes.
And the first, well, it's two questions, but we're going to start kind of like negatively. Okay. So we want to know your red flags for women, red flags for relationships. And then afterwards you can think about your green flags, where we're going to do red flags, icks, whatever. You can be as honest. This is a no judgment zone. You know,
I'll even, you know what? I might have to chip in, because since we recorded that episode, there's one thing that has been heavy on my heart that I need to expose as one of my icks, but I'll let you guys go first.
Can't lie, if you listen to Playboy Carti, yeah, I just can't.
That's so specific.
If you believe
in that star sign stuff.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
I feel like that one's kind of like getting me just under the umbrella of anything other. But yeah, no, Playboy Carti, I can't do. Even like, nah, Playboy Carti, that's a mad one.
If you worship celebrity relationships, every single day I see you posting India and Dirk, I don't want to see that.
Oh, they're cute though.
Oh, big up them, innit? But stop posting all the time.
When you get a girl, bro, you can sing her three songs.
Nah, I don't have a problem. Like, I feel like he loves her the right way, maybe, innit? But I just don't need you to just keep on talking about that, post every single picture of them. Nah, that's too much.
I think not even just the whole kind of worshiping celebrity relationship, just celebrities full stop. It's Nicki Minaj's birthday. This person had a kid. I don't care anything. And obviously, if like that's your favorite singer or whatever, I don't care, post it and that. But you notice people like now every day you're telling me, I don't want to hear that.
When Nicki had a kid, they're like, oh, we had a kid today.
We had a kid.
That's just nah. That's amazing though.
Do you know something that I find really, really off-putting? Maybe this is me being picky, but you know, yeah, when girls get chicken and chips with bear sauce and they eat it with their hands with nails.
What?
It's just like, use the wooden fork or something, like. Now there's bear burger sauce on your acrylics. Oh, yeah.
There's no girl that does
breathe.
That at this day and age, bro.
I hear it, yeah.
It just ties in your secondary school, G.
Then the acrylic looking all orange.
What's happening, bro?
Yeah, I hear it.
That one I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't like girls who talk too much, innit? Just in everything, like just when I say talk too much, I don't mean like you can talk, but talk about sense. But if you're talking, just shh, please. Like, I like to speak your mind, innit? You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind a girl who can express herself, you know, confident. Yeah, you go, innit? However, like there's a time and place to talk. And like, there's a time and place to be quiet. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of people don't really understand that. Like, come on, man, we all need some peace of mind sometimes. You get it?
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah,
wait, I have a question. You see that red flag? So is that like stuff that we don't like or stuff that we like? If that's you, it says no, like straight.
Both. We did icks. Yeah, we did.
We did icks. Like... So stuff that's like a definite. But it was kind of funny because some of them were like
kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Mine is not as bad as I'm not gonna join or not, but you see, I don't mind a girl who can dance and likes to dance. Can, you get me?
Oh, yeah, love.
Yeah. Ooh, just feeling sick right now.
These are worse than me. Like, nah, I don't mind if you want to dance. That's fine, innit? I'm not talking about Instagram dance. I'm talking in general. The Instagram. You see, like, if you like to dance a lot, and when you dance, your facial expressions are very like mad.
Oh, no.
I don't mind shaking a leg. Let them know if it's a motive or a link or whatever, you'll find me somewhere near, maybe not on, but near the dance floor. But if now your facial expressions are bare.
that's a number one. No dance. If you're a dancer, no, it can't work. But yeah, the motive, you're sweating, you can see the sweat patches on the crop top or whatever you're in. No dancing.
I don't mind a dancer.
Singers are calm, innit? If she's been called by God to sing, yeah, go ahead and sing. If she's singing out of her own wish on Instagram, now.
Oh my God, these are very specific.
I know, they've really thought about this.
Yeah, that's so funny to me. Even if you're good, I just find it cringy. Like, I don't
know. No, to be fair, I can't deal with men who sing. Like, it's just, it will just never be. No,
that's Iron Fez bag.
Yeah, I also want to sing in quiet.
No, it can make me shudder.
I can't do any of that.
I don't like all
public
that
public singing, public dancing, public speaking. Dare I say?
Wait! You can't allow a little spoken word.
But no, that's mad.
Because I even just thought of someone when you said spoken word.
Yes, speaking.
Wait, how can you say you don't like public speaking when you're on a podcast?
No, I mean, like,
men who publicly speak.
Like on a stage.
Yeah, I don't like public speaking.
Wait, but does it count if they're a youth preacher? You mean like
No, that do... I don't mean like that. I mean like if you're just talking for talking's sake.
Oh, like there's people saying chase your goals and that.
Yes, I can't deal with that. Oh my gosh, specifically that.
No, it makes me feel sick. You know the motivational YouTube guys. Oh my,
I literally said like, do not recommend this channel. Block this.
No, genuinely, this content is what abusive and offensive.
Oh my word!
This is a massive one. If a girl listens to real rap, no,
huh?
You're there putting a pot of paper and move anywhere near me. Please go away. Go away.
What?
Not even if you want to have the conversation of. Like, as a Christian, should listen. That's a completely different. I don't even care. Like, don't listen to that music near me. I find it.
Bro, just,
I don't even I like hearing it when I'm around the man. Now, my girl is now playing pop it. I was on the block. No, come on.
I'd rather they listen to Pot of Paper than they listen to flipping Megan Thee Stallion.
Pot of Paper is not good. Meg slaps.
Bro, talking about
equipped for a bad beat, just say that.
Nah,
that sounds like a you problem.
Bro, Meg, bro, you really think Meg is good at rapping, bro? Shouts Meg, innit? But
are you? I'm not even gonna get into this, bro.
You know, it's I don't like that particular type of music, and I don't mind someone that listens to it. But you know, there's people that kind of pussy rap is their like, that's their persona.
Yeah, that's their personality.
That's them.
Yeah.
No, we're just walking down the road. Period. Or what's that? What's the new one? About. Come on.
About.
Bro.
She told me throw it back. About.
About.
DSK, bro, you've been away too long.
Yeah, you're out of the loop. If you're not American, shouts MH in it. But like, if you're not actually American, you use American lingo a bit too much.
You're from Housden and you're using American lingo too much. Come on,
bro. Period.
I can tell that you've not listened to this podcast before. Evidently.
When I say too much, it's like they feel like they're actually American, bro.
Yeah, like I don't feel like
you're from Nottingham, bro.
I feel like you lot as well, like, when you lot sometimes use the terms, it's like, in a not in a jokey way, but you lot, we're not going to have a serious conversation and you're saying, period, you get it? That would really irritate me. Like, now we're having a proper discussion and you're saying...
about.
Wait, what does about mean, though? What does
that mean? I don't know.
It's just a song. It's a feeling. It's an emotion.
you started it?
Literally, it's a random TikTok song.
Oh, one of those little somebodies or something. I don't know.
Bro, I might just have to make a song, bro. You can blow just by one line, bro. Do you know what I'm saying?
Please don't.
Like, you see the other one? Yours, mine, ours. Shush, man. Just shush. Shush.
We have some haters in our midst.
We have some what?
Haters.
No, not even haters. It's just facts. Factus.
I think that's... I don't think I have any more... Red.
Can I just say the ick that has really been on my heart?
Yes, of course.
It's a massive ick for me, medical reasons aside. If you don't wear... if you don't wear a mask on the underground, like, I just think that you're unclean.
What?
At this point.
Yeah, cool.
If you don't wear a mask, or like, it's a pandemic and you want to be breathing in my space in rush hour?
The only time
you might catch me without a mask is if I have my lip gloss on already. Like, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, we're always masked up, to be honest.
But other than that, it's like, please, like, we're not out of these unprecedented times yet. It's like, because, you know, sometimes I'll be sat opposite someone and thinking, oh, this is like, you know, this is a beautiful man. And I'm like, how do I know he's beautiful? He hasn't got a mask on.
That's the mask tax?
Oh, mask crazy.
What's
crazy.
Mask tax?
Cool. So you see, like, you might be on the underground somewhere. You see a girl with a mask on. Why is she looking? Get me.
Yeah, she got the eyes. You see from the eyes and the nose.
Or you think you can see from the eyes and the nose. Then the mask comes.
that reminds me of one it. Girls who wear balaclavas. No.
No, to be fair, I support you on that one. I've
never seen
King.
One. Yeah, I've never seen a girl wear one in real life.
American Instagram girlies do that kind of thing.
Yeah, they do.
And a lot of girls from East London as well.
Hey, what's
going on? East London in this.
You're walking around like you're too shasty. Nah, man.
Chudo, I don't particularly like girls on their bodies, but some girls look good in their body.
They're blocking their face.
What's happening? The eye.
No one's looking for her. Why is she wearing a belly?
Literally,
14
second
badge,
bro.
Oh,
la la. Interesting. Okay, guys, green flags.
God fearing.
Yeah.
But that's a standard, though.
That's a non given.
I don't think I call that a green flag.
That's
just
a requirement.
I'm actually non given.
That's a fundamental, bro.
Ooh, good dresser.
All right.
Like,
when I say ambitious, she's got something going for her. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, whether she's, I don't know, smart, whether she's, you know, when I say business, you know, she's got a bit, you know what I'm trying to say, but like she's a hard worker. She's a hard worker.
She's a boss babe.
Huh? Oh, please.
Yeah, like a boss babe, bro.
Not girl boss.
Yeah. Do you know something? A sweet voice. Yo. Yeah.
Calm down over there, mate. Keep it in the shadow.
Nah, good voice.
What does that even mean? I've never met somebody with a bad voice.
MH, like, I know you're not the one to talk because everywhere we go, like, OMG, are you from...
Like, no, but that's because of the accent. I mean, like, somebody who has, like, a bad voice.
No, but you... I think you have a nice... No, I've heard
You actually do have a nice voice, though, MH.
No, thank you.
No, obviously, having an accent adds as well, but some people, like, they actually... It's not a bad voice, innit? That's why it's a green... It's not a red flag if you have a bad voice, as per se. But it's definitely a green flag if you have a sweet voice. When you have a sweet voice, you get, you know,
is that for girls? Yeah, when a guy VNs them at like 8 a.m., they know that it's gonna be deeper. So then, like, girls like that stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, girls,
Has anyone asked them? Let's get into it.
Is it?
You don't like a deep voice. Right.
No, I just don't like. Why
I don't you, like the, it does the nothing. Faux deep voice.
Yeah, me too. Like, why do you?
If I know that you're putting it on, it's kind of like, this is a bit embarrassing now.
Very.
Hey,
yeah. Maybe DSQ crowds. Maybe you have something to answer. That question's not that.
My voice isn't even that deep, bro. My voice is calm. Boom. know what I mean?
Any other green flags, guys?
Good, you know, it's good communication and girls, you can take accountability.
Do you know what? I don't like somebody that can't hold themselves accountable, but if you're going to try and hold me accountable for certain things and not do it for yourself, I think that's, I don't like those kind of double standards.
What do they call that?
Yeah, that's fair.
Double standards.
Hypocrite, being a hypocrite.
Yeah, and no, there's another thing. Oh, I forgot the name.
Another thing, a humble girl. I really, really appreciate humility. But certain green flags, I only have them because I've seen the opposite and I realize I don't like it. But I feel like when a girl can be humble, whether it's holding themselves accountable, but just in general, you know, some people like to put themselves on a pedestal. We can all be guilty of it at times, but I find it really, really, I appreciate it a lot when somebody can actually be humble. That's a big one. Smell nice is always
smell nice. Good cook. That's a bonus.
Can you cook?
Yeah, I can cook, but that's the thing. I can cook very well. I can cook okay.
The cooking one's not really a green flag for me.
Nah, it's a green. It's a bonus, bro.
Not really, like, you can cook. Well done.
Nah, bro. think about it. You're ill. You got a girl, she's bringing jollof to your door, bro. That's crazy stuff.
I have a mum.
It's crazy. Looking for a bed wench.
It's nice. If I'm ill or something, that's nice. But my mum will do that, innit? So...
That's very true.
A girl who's respectful to not just me, but like others around her as well. How she treats others is mad important. You know what I'm saying? You're good with me, you're good with people that you like. What about how you treat those that you don't like? You know, do you know what I mean? Like, because all of these things are quite important. If you treat everybody that is good with you good, that's not hard. You know what I'm saying? That's easy. But those that you don't know, you know, strangers on the street, are you going to, like, get rude to them for no reason? Stuff like that. Like, you know, you watch that stuff, you're like, I like the way you move. I like the way you handle that. Did you get it? So, yeah. How is she respecting to me and others?
Sorry, I forgot this on the red flags one. There's two things. Firstly, you see bandanas, innit? If you have a bandana for anything other than, obviously, like, maybe let's say you're doing your hair, you might use it for your hair or something like that. Cool. But if you just have a bandana as a genuine fashion accessory, you're scary. Incredibly scary individual. That's one thing. And the second thing is
what?
It's linked to the humility thing, but people that kind of think that they're holier than thou for whichever reason. Yeah, I really don't like those people because they can be incredibly condescending.
Yeah. Oh my word. That's fair. That's the number one red flag I have as well. Somebody,
you know, that's actually number one for me. That one, I hate it.
Someone who's condescending, it can never work.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing your guys's. But many multiple expanding list of red flags and some green flags as well. So we're going to move on to the questions that we got sent. So the first question is, how do you know you're in a relationship that God approves of?
For me, yeah, there's one story that always sticks out to me. Is my grandma actually showed me this one. It's in Numbers. Somewhere in the early 20s of Numbers with Balaam and Balak. You see, like, people always say, like, oh, pray on your relationships, wait for an answer from God. I feel like sometimes that's a very vague kind of, oh, yeah, pray for it. But you don't really know, like, what kind of answers you're looking for. I think the most important, the easiest way to know is if God says this is it or this isn't it. But what I realized from the story of Balaam and Balak, basically, I think it's Balaam. He was going to do something, but he was waiting for approval from God, and God didn't say anything. So he said, if God doesn't give me an, I'm not doing anything. And I think that's one way to know. I don't know if it's maybe to know if God approves of it, but to know God doesn't approve of it if he hasn't said anything. So if there's no leaning or no indication from God, then he hasn't approved of it. If God's going to approve of it, he will make it known. Him make it known.
I think, what's it called? When we're out here looking for a girl, or girls are looking for a guy, I feel like we shouldn't allow the world standards or, like, the values that this world kind of, like, puts on a pedestal to dictate what kind of girls or what kind of guys we go for. Like, we should conform. The values that we look for should conform to the values of God. You know what I'm saying? Like, God, like, they talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, like, you know, a girl who's hardworking, you know, a girl who's not going to flip and lead you into sin. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're with her, and she's asking you to do certain things, or she's leading you down a certain way. And these kind of girls, you stay away from. You know what I'm saying? These are the things that, yeah, cool, it's nice to have a girl who's funny, a girl who's smart, a girl who's good looking, a girl who's this, who's that. But one thing we need to first look for is her love for God. you know what I'm saying? You shouldn't look for someone just based on the fact, on the outward appearance, because that fades. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it can, the initial attraction will be there, but the thing that will actually let you stay there, or the thing that will allow you to, you know, grow in whatever you guys are trying to pursue, is the fact that her love for God and your love for God are separate. But when they come together, it makes sense. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not that you come into it and then she starts loving God, or she comes into it and then you start loving God. Like, yeah, cool, that can happen, but she has to have a personal relationship with God herself. You have to have a personal relationship with God yourself, because your love for God will allow you to love her properly, or to treat her properly. Do you know what I'm saying? Or her love for God will allow you to treat you properly. Like, when you're looking for someone, the way they deal with conflict, you know, the way they deal with you when they're annoyed at you, they're angry at you, you know, the way they show their love, it's not just, oh, Quabs, I love you, Quabs, you know, you're the best. Like, love is action. Love isn't just a fleeting feeling. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I can say I love you. It's infatuation, but the real love is, you know, we've seen in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does this, love is that. Do you know what I'm saying? So when you're looking for a girl or looking for a guy, you need to really look at her qualities or his qualities. Like, you shouldn't just take it as, oh, she's so good looking, she's the best girl I've ever seen, and you're just lusting after her beauty, bro. Nah, you get it. Like, obviously we've all been there where you just see a girl, ooh, I want her. You go and get her, you know that it's not a daddy. You know what I'm saying? So we should allow ourselves to conform to the values of God instead of just like the values of this world or this generation, like, or like the kind of settings that we're in right now of just, oh, a girl, he's this, a girl. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm.
Yeah, we hear that.
I would say I feel like you have to look at your relationship. Does it reflect the kind of fruits that are talked about in the Bible? You know, is your relationship one of, you know, joy, of peace, or does it bring out sin and lies and deceit and, you know, antagonizing emotions? Just looking at the fundamentals of your relationship, if it's contrary to the word of God, it's clearly not something God approves of. Maybe he might improve of it in the future, but right now it's not the place where you have to be. If it's a relationship that makes you want to sexually sin, it's clearly not a relationship that God approves of currently. So I feel like you have to kind of your relationship with the person has to reflect the same kind of attitudes or the will of God in general. You know, is it a relationship that, again, is it a relationship that brings you closer to God, or is it a relationship that pulls you apart? So I feel like that's how you kind of can look at it and kind of see if it's walking in the lines of God. There's a passage in James that talks about godly wisdom, for example, and it lists different kind of features or different kind of characteristics that kind of defines and depicts what godly wisdom looks like, and it breaks it down. I can't remember where the passage is. I think it's in James 3 somewhere. And that kind of, when I saw that scripture, it just kind of reminded me of the same thing when it comes to relationship. A godly relationship has to be based on the same principles of the word of God. So yeah, that's how I basically see. Because as soon as you know it's contrary to the word of God, it's not a relationship that's approved by God, if you get what I mean, in that sense. Maybe in the future, God willing, it could be, but in that moment, then nah, it's not.
That's a really good point.
Because I can't lie, and we have to be ready to like ask God to kind of humble us, or like be ready for certain things not to work. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's one thing that, like, I wouldn't say I struggled with, but I was very hesitant on some prayers, because I knew, there were some people in my life that just weren't good for me. But I felt like it can go somewhere, it can work. Like, you know, as long as, you know, I do this, you know, I do this, like, it will come, you know, kind of pattern up. But bro, like, the minute, I remember I just went into my little prayer place, and I was telling them, God, I just surrender it all to you. Like, do what you want to do with, like, the relationships, the friendships. Like, if they need to go, they need to go. And I remember, I didn't pray this prayer for months, because I was like, I'm happy where I am. Like, this person, like, we're cool. Like, she's not necessarily leading me to sin. You know, it's growing somewhere, but it's not necessarily, because in my head, I knew that this wasn't really a God, you know, like, God wasn't really the center. You know what I'm saying? And when you know that, like, you are just harming yourself. You're just harming yourself. You're just kind of like, dragging on the inevitable. Like, it's going to break down either way. Do you know what I'm saying? And I remember when I prayed to God, yeah, and I told him, hey, you know what? Like, I surrender it all to you. Like, if this person ain't good for me, bro, I kid you not. The same day, bro, it just all went to tatters. Like, and it just all crumbled. Like, and the thing is, I thought I was going to be mad upset because I was like, oh, like, I really, not that I really care for in that sense, but like, I felt like it had a bright future in the sense that it could go somewhere. But then I deeped that, bro, like, when God does these things, God wants his, God loves you so much that he doesn't want to see you in that kind of pain. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when you, that's why I need to go back to like knowing who God is, like, and knowing your place in God. Like, Romans 12:2 talks about how you should allow him to renew your mind so that you be transformed. Then you'll understand that his will for you is perfect and it's good. Do you know what I'm saying? So when you understand that, I know that if I pray to God, God, this person ain't good for me or this person good for me, and he takes a certain person out of my life, it's not for my own. It's not to punish me, or it's not to make me feel like, oh, God, like, you're violating. It's for my own good. And the thing is, a couple months down the line, you look back and you think, oh, maybe God actually did do something good here. Do you know what I'm saying? But obviously, in the moment, it can be a bit painful. It's like, oh, man, I cared for her, or this was actually a good thing. But you need to be ready to, like, if you know that it's not really God being the center of it, like, I can't lie, you just got to be really, like, truthful with yourself. You've got to examine yourself, as Paul said, like, I think in Philippians, like, sit down and examine yourself, examine your relationship, examine your friendships, and understand that, bro, this is not going to work right now.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so this next question is quite interesting. It is it fair to get married to someone who wasn't saving themselves for you? What's your take on that?
I think when we're looking at, because earlier we're having a conversation me and DSK, we're talking about how to, like, model your relationship on the relationship of Christ and the church. First things first, before we came to Christ, we did a whole host of things God didn't approve of.
Right.
And he doesn't hold that against us. Secondly, God told Hosea to marry
Gomer,
and get me in it, she was sexually active, shall we say. I think there's a prostitute. I think she even cheated on him as well. And so I think that obviously sometimes it's an uncomfortable thought sometimes, especially if you personally know somebody who was sexually active with your girl. That's mad, isn't it? When you have the understanding, yeah, that if God's led you to somebody, he wouldn't lead you somewhere where his blessings aren't. So,
yeah, that's good.
The more, like, we're talking about this earlier as well, the more kind of receptive of these kind of things, they sometimes break down some secret kind of emotions or some secret maybe ugliness in your heart. Maybe you're dealing with a pride matter. And in this certain circumstance, this is almost a way for God to kind of make a breakthrough in your pride matter, if you can humble yourself to accept this person. And sometimes this will help you to kind of prepare for the next scenario where you need to drop your pride. So I feel like sometimes the way God works is so kind of crazy. So these little calls of almost, like, it always goes back to that scripture, if you're faithful with little, you'll be able to be faithful with large. Sometimes in kind of little, maybe look like the mad trivial example, sometimes these things can build to be something greater that God can use at a later date. But if we're not if we're not willing to kind of surrender to it, then God can't really complete that long work that he wants to do in us in the future. Maybe it has nothing to do with a relationship. Maybe it's got to do with, I don't know, family or a job or your finances or even your relationship towards God himself. So sometimes I feel like I had that same belief that, because I'm saving myself, if you're not saving yourself, it's like, nah, like, go
What's
away.
Going on?
It's not it, because I'm just, all I'm doing is expecting something of you that I'm expecting for myself. And I feel like it's all right to think that way, but at the same time, I do, when I kind of assessed it, I do believe sometimes there's a bit of pride, and I feel like there's slightly some unchrist-like behavior with that thinking. When I looked at myself and kind of looked in the mirror, I just thought, I don't know, man. I feel like there's a lack of humility from myself, because I'm almost putting myself on a pedestal without actually doing it. But I feel like
I hear all of this, yeah. But like, what's it called? I feel like you see how they say that there's guys out here that will have like a body count of like 60 and then they'd want a girl who saved herself. See, I wouldn't agree with that because it's like, yeah, I feel like if you have saved yourself and you want someone who not necessarily saved themselves, but, you know, maybe is on the lower ends of stuff, I don't think it's a bad thing to want that.
No, it's not a bad thing to want that.
But I feel like it's a bad thing when, as Squared said, like you start to think that you're just so holier than thou, you're self-righteous to the fact that, like, oh, because I've saved myself, oh, because you haven't done that, go away, what's this, do you know what I mean? But you saving yourself, obviously, is a good thing that you saved yourself. And if you want someone who saved themselves, that's fine. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing to go and look for that. Like, you know, I feel like you could say it's a preference, or am I dragging it there? But I feel like if you want someone who saved themselves, you can't really, I don't think no one can get onto you for that. I just think it becomes a problem when you start judging them for it. Like, because in Christ, you shouldn't really look at someone, you know, for their past or what they've done, especially if you know, they've actually changed their life around. You get it? You might not necessarily agree with what they did in the past, but God doesn't agree with what you do a lot of the time, but he still forgives you. You know what I'm saying? We forgive because God forgave us first. So when you kind of understand God's forgiveness for you or God's outlook on you, then looking at someone else like that is much easier. Like, the debt that you owe to God was like £1 billion. The debt that someone owes you would be like £10, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? You're understanding that he saved you from so much debt, you know, you pass on that grace, you showing someone a bit of mercy, because sometimes you even looking at them like that, it can kind of make them think, raw, like, what's this? Like, I used to do this, I used to be a bit whatever, but now that I've come to Christ, all of that stuff's gone, like, it's a new leaf. Do you know what I'm saying? But I don't think it's a problem to actually want someone to save themselves because you saved yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's an issue.
So the last question is, how do you guard your heart?
By not spending too much time on the tier.
What?
That's a genuine thing. Because,
he's not lying.
You see, the thing about guarding your heart, kind of it's like, you know, what you're allowing to influence you, what you're allowing to, you know, to start now being a part of your thought process and your decision-making, and you start now tying your emotions to certain opinions that you hold because of where you were getting fed from. So I think a big part of guarding heart, obviously not just the TL, but watching what you intake. And that doesn't just go for social media, it even goes for normal media, like in terms of how you allow movies and TV and things like that to build up your expectations, especially in a relationship setting. Because now, because you saw this guy was loving his girl like this in this movie, that's now what you're subconsciously basing your expectations off of. So that's dangerous. I think a big way to guard your heart is by watching what's that verse in Matthew that says about how your eyes are the lamp of the soul?
Yeah.
It's incredibly important to watch what you are, you know, what you're watching, what you're seeing.
Where you're filling your mind and your ears and just everything with, to be honest. Because it sounded like, I was thinking in it, when I seen this episode planning, I was just thinking that sometimes, bro, you're going through pain season, going through heartbreak, all you're playing is Drake. And that's not helping you through your heartbreak. Like,
Marvin's Room.
Your heartbreak, listen to Summer Walker Over It.
Yeah, like, and these things aren't gonna, like, these things are only gonna, it sounds funny, innit? And in the time, sometimes it feels good. Sometimes I remember going through pain season, slap on Drake, Do Not Disturb, calm. I was there, bro. But it's not helping you to, like, renew your mind. It's not helping you to allow, because only God can help you to kind of, he's the only one who can protect your heart. But you have to be intentional with allowing him to protect your heart. You have to put yourself in the right places to allow him to protect you, if that makes sense. You know, imagine you're on a battlefield, yeah, and you're walking around this big giant soldier or whatever, and he's the one who's keeping everything calm. Like, this is, like, you have to be careful or whatever, but you have the responsibility to come stand next to him so he can protect you, he can keep you safe from the enemies. And the same thing with God. I feel like sometimes when it comes to our heart, we kind of just let anything kind of come inside, because sometimes our mood kind of allows us to do that. Sometimes the season we're in allows us to do that. But we have to just be wary, because it says in Proverbs, it talks about everything flows from the heart. You have to guard your heart because everything flows from it. Well, everything. Exactly. So I feel like, first of all, kind of having that biblical eyesight and mind about your heart is very, very important, because I think that will dictate what you allow in your heart and how you kind of see it and how you kind of protect it, and the act and the lengths to go that you go to allow God to kind of protect it, to keep it safe, to continue to kind of, again, just be linked with the word of God and cover it with the word of God.
Yeah, like the heart, when we talk about the heart is not your flipping your physical heart with the aorta and, you know, all that stuff. Like the heart is like, you know, the aorta and, you know, all the valves and that. It's like, you know, your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, your will, your choices. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so understanding that your heart is basically like the inner, your inner being, like your actual inner being. That's when, you know, you choosing to avoid doing certain things is guarding your heart. When I say avoid doing certain things, avoid murmuring, avoid gossiping, avoid lust, avoid anger, like, I mean, acting on anger, like, avoid all of these things and, you know, pursuing certain things, righteousness, humility, gentleness, you know, purity, like, all of these things. These are all parts of guarding your heart. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not just about, oh, I'm going to stop chatting to these kind of girls or these kind of guys. Like, yeah, that's important, but you also have to understand you, the kind of things that make you, you know, not, you know, allow God to actually come and infiltrate every part of your being. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain parts of us that we're not ready to give up to God. And, you know, that's like God in our heart, because God in your heart means that you want the best for yourself. Like, when people are, you know, struggling with, like, you know, heart issues and that, they want the best for their heart at that point in time. Do you know what I'm saying? They want to eat good. They want to exercise. They want to do all these things. The same way with spiritual exercise. Like, if you're trying to guard your spiritual heart, you have to apply spiritual exercise. What's that? Prayer, reading your Bible, fellowship, all of that stuff. So guarding your heart, it encompasses a lot of things. It's not just about watching the people that you're around. Yes, that's mad important, you know, the kind of friends that you're around, the kind of relationship you allow yourself into. But as Bian said as well, like, you know, the kind of things you watch, the kind of things you allow inside your brain, like, the kind of things you allow inside your thoughts. Because when you're lying down late at night, you know, with your thoughts, it can get a bit dark at times, you know what I'm saying? So if you're not really guarding, you know, the things you're seeing, the things you're thinking about, it can get a bit dangerous. Before you know, you start doubting God, you start, you know, spiraling out of control. Do you know what I'm saying? So you need to really, when you say guard your heart, I feel like we need to watch what we put inside our heads, you know, allow inside our space. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, cool. We're called to love everybody. We're called to, be stewards of love or whatever. But at the same time, loving everybody doesn't mean that you allow everybody inside your inner space. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. Jesus loved every single person when he's on this earth. But he only had 12 disciples. You know what I'm saying? 12 disciples where he actually, you know, confided in, you know, he actually, like, allowed them to see him, you know, at his lowest. He said, so when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and, you know, he took some of the disciples and said, oh, wait here for me. He didn't take 5,000 people. He didn't take 10,000 people. But he loved all of them. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, loving people, yeah, love them. You know, show them the love of God. You know, we're called to do that, love God and love others. However, guarding your heart means that you know the kind of distance that you keep with certain people, because you know that if you allow them in, they're just going to, you know, they're going to blemish what you're trying to keep pure, or what you're trying to, you know, keep away from certain things. You know what I'm saying? So we should be really careful in the things we think about, the things we allow our eyes to see, the music we listen to, you know, the people allowing our circle, the choices that we make. The choices that we make are mad important, you know. The kind of girls that you do think, I'm not even going to say do things with, we shouldn't be doing things with girls in the first place, but, you know, the kind of activities that you do, like, flipping, you think,
I'm bowling, bro.
Bowling is calm, bro. I'm not expecting to go to Atlanta and be going to the strip club, bro, and then throwing £1 notes at the strip.
Because
in America they have
$1
bills, isn't it? Do you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, God in your heart just encompasses a lot of things, you know. And yeah, man, just protect yourself and just surrender it to God, really. Do you know what I'm saying?
Something you touched on quickly, just to go over it, the thing about company. I think it's incredibly important to watch the company you keep, especially when it comes to relationships, because now something is going wrong with something, the people you're going to come to are going to influence your decision-making. The people you confide in are going to influence your decision-making, you know? And so I think it's incredibly important to watch who you keep. And even like your friends, your fellowship circles as well, like these are the people that are going to influence how you think, how you feel. And so it's incredibly important to watch your company, especially in church settings as well, because I think, you know, the standard way to think is, oh, you know, if I go to my church people or my fellowship people, they're going to give me the right advice, or they're going to, you know, support me in the right ways. And that's just not always true. You know, some people, it may come from the right place, but that doesn't mean it's the right answer. So whatever, you know, your company or your friends, fellowship people are telling you, it's always important to double check it with God, double check it with scripture, you know, to go over these things. Like, for example, I had a situation earlier in the year, and the first people I came to was the man them. And when I was reflecting on the situation, it's like the situation firstly didn't, even as bad as it was, it didn't go anywhere dangerous. And I think without the right friends around me, I don't know what could have happened. Right. And when you think about the important decisions, especially when it comes to family problems, relationships, education, career, these kind of things, if the people in your corner are not solid, the stuff they tell you is not going to be solid, and that's going to influence the way that you think, because now you're taking on other people's pain and traumas in your own decision making. So now, you know, some girl, maybe there's some video where she was talking to some guy and flirting or what in the back of a snap, and now one next guy saying, "Nah, you gotta cut her off," but little do you know, it's because the same thing happened to him, and so now he's hurt. And so I think it's just incredibly important to watch your who's in your corner, what they're telling you, and
I hear that for sure, man. I hear that. I was gonna say quickly just that I feel like just the importance of just seeing your heart in the same way that God sees it, in that sense that God, he guards it, you know, it's something that he keeps close to him, something that he prioritizes. And I feel like sometimes we don't see our hearts as that important, and therefore, like, we just allow the devil to easily wreak havoc with our hearts. Like, if we recognize the importance of our hearts, then we'll know also the kind of importance that the devil sees in it, in that same way that he wants our hearts, because he knows that everything stems from it. And I feel like when you see it that kind of way, then you have more of a serious, intentional, almost like battle-like attitude towards guarding and protecting your heart, instead of just kind of being bare, kind of laid back and just kind of, is what it is, going here, meeting with this person, sleeping with this person, chatting to this person. That sometimes we just kind of don't recognize it as that deep. But when you realize that this is something that's so significant in your life, you know that the devil's trying his very best in every single little area, in your friendship, in your the way you use social media or general media. He's always prowling around like a roaring lion, as it talks about in 1 Peter 5:8. So you kind of have to have that same real seriousness that God sees on your heart. Otherwise, you're just going to let the devil just kind of have his way and end up being just getting moved to by him constantly.
Yeah. The devil will put up a 30-point triple-double, bro.
It's going to just be moving to you. And it's something I've learned this year, like, because I feel like...
They talking sports now.
Yeah. It's something I've learned this year, because sometimes I realize that I just see sometimes, unless it's something so critical and something serious, we're just so kind of...
Blasé
about the situation. And we just kind of let it attack us. And you never know. We always speak about it as the guys, the devil just needs a little inch to start working something so much greater in us. Right. So the more we take everything almost seriously, the more our attitude's more locked on us and intentional on that. Yeah, man, we have to protect this. Then I feel like the more our hearts will be pure and Christ-like and just in a healthy place to allow our whole lives to just be healthy in that same sense as well.
Yeah,
I think it's time for us to wrap up the episode. Thank you once again to the 2911 boys for coming and sharing their wisdom, for getting a bit of a male perspective, because, you know, we're just always very much, you know, a girl's circle. So it's been nice to have some male perspectives on some of these topics. And like we said, we did a YouTube video with the girls from To Be His podcast. So if you haven't seen that already, head over to our YouTube channel. It's called Let God Podcast, obviously, and go and hear the conversation that we had with the girls about these same questions. And shout out to the people that asked us them. We hope that you were blessed by the answers and that you got sufficient guidance and wisdom, but always take it back to God. There's no better info than the source himself. As usual, you can follow us on all our social medias at Let God Podcast. Thank you again so much to our sponsors. We appreciate you guys. And I think that's it. Is there anything else to say?
Thank you for having us, guys.
But if there's any God-fearing ladies listening to this... You know, it's a fan. Ah.
Find them at 29 any podcast.
Shout out. We need to get married soon.
I might change your life. You never know.
Okay. We can neither confirm nor deny.
Nor deny these allegations.
So we cannot be held liable for anything that ensues from this recording. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.